Appreciation is actually assigning value to something. And we do that, you know, in many different ways. But if we're going to do that with our blessings, we don't just need to notice them. We also need to appreciate them, to recognize the fact that we have things that other people don't. We have things that, not that we're in a haughty way, but we have things that other people are asking for. We may enjoy them. And we have things that we have been supplied that we were missing. Hello, and thanks for listening. I'm Jason Sparks. This is Sparking Spiritual Growth. Thanks for tuning in on the Gospel Radio Network. The Bible has a lot to say about joy and, you know, enjoying life, and we all want that, right? And it's kind of complicated because a lot of times we think that our circumstances need to improve so that we can have more enjoyment. And, you know, logically or mentally, we know that those things don't really correlate. You can have joy and still have lots of problems. But we still feel that way sometimes, and it still comes out in the way we behave and the things that we're looking for. We make decisions sometimes thinking that, well, it'll bring about happiness, which is equivalent to joy, even though we know better. Happiness and joy are not the same things. When we look at what makes up joy, though, we can have a better understanding of it. And I've learned that, you know, these kind of these ideas that are abstract, if we break them into parts, we can often improve those parts and improve overall the larger component part. That is, that we can have joy by increasing all the different pieces of it. So I've got here several things that we could break down joy into, and several ideas, and maybe that'll help you understand a little bit more how you can have more joy in your life. So the first one that I want you to think about is the idea of awareness. In James chapter 1, he says, starting in verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Now, in that section, he says to consider joy, to think about joy, to think about what will bring about joy when you fall into various trials. And that's something that we need to do. We need to be aware of what can bring joy in any given situation, awareness of the things that the opportunities that we have. Often opportunities for success, opportunities for joy and peace and love, those are disguised. They're disguised by things we call problems and difficulties. And we don't like to have the idea of, you know, we don't like the idea of problems and difficulties being in our lives, but that is one of the ways that we can find joy. It's not that we should enjoy the problem. That's not what I mean. We're not sadists. We don't enjoy hurting ourselves, but we can learn from those things. And in spite of the pain, we can overcome and have great joy. And anyone can learn how to do this. It's simply a matter of deciding that you're going to look for the opportunity in the pain. And if we have the faith that in any situation we're in, we're going to be able to find a way to grow from it, then we're going to get something out of it every time. Sometimes it's difficult for us to see how we're going to get something out of it, though. And James even talks about that too, because in the same section, he says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask in faith without doubting, and God will supply it to him. So wisdom in that context is related specifically to finding joy. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, right? But if you don't know how to find that, how to bring about joy in that situation, then you need wisdom. He says, if you lack wisdom, go to God and he will provide it for you. So wisdom in that sense is all about understanding how to get the most out of a situation. That's the foundation for joy. Awareness, being aware. Sometimes it's simply just being aware of the good things that we already have in our lives, right? I have a thing. A few days ago, I was kind of in a sour mood for some reason early in the morning, and I hadn't had my coffee yet, I guess. And I was going through, I have a kind of a planner, and one of the things it said in my planner was a list, three things that I'm thankful for. And I sat there and sat there and sat there. And everything I wanted to sit down, I was like, well, I don't really feel happy for that right now. And you know, that I realized that that was a problem. I'm not aware. I don't. And that's the next word here is appreciation. I'm aware of blessings, but I don't always appreciate them the way I should. Appreciation is actually assigning value to something. And we do that, you know, in many different ways. But if we're going to do that with our blessings, we don't just need to notice them. We also need to appreciate them, to recognize the fact that we have things that other people don't. We have things that not that we're in a haughty way, but we have things that other people are asking for. We may enjoy them. And we have things that we have been supplied that we were missing before, that we were wanting before, and we were praying for those things perhaps before, and now we have them. So awareness leads, or should lead us, to appreciation. Appreciation means that we're assigning value to it, and we're recognizing that value. We're looking at it and saying, you know what? I've got something better. I am a better person now than I was. I have a God who supplies my needs, and He looks at me, and He knows what I need, and even without me asking, a lot of the things come to me. All of us are that way. You know, I'm not trying to be in any way disrespectful to God, but my wife and I occasionally will get some money somehow. It may be a gift, or it may be a bonus, or, you know, there are a lot of things that sometimes now and then we get a little bit of extra income in, which is always nice, and we usually look at each other and say, okay, what's about to happen? Now, I don't say that. I don't say that out of disrespect to God, because here's the thing. We recognize and we appreciate what we've been given, because we know that God provides for us often before we even face challenges and situations. Now, not always. Sometimes it's after. Sometimes it's during. But here's the point. God always provides. And if we will appreciate what we have, there is a great step toward joy. The third one related to that is praise. It's not enough just to add value to it. You know, you need to go to God and thank Him for it, to praise Him for what He's given you. It's really difficult to be aware of blessings, to appreciate those blessings, and go to God in praise for those blessings and not have joy in your life. But what do you do when you can't find those things and you're having such difficult problems, and maybe there's such a cloud over you that you're really having a hard time appreciating? I sympathize with that. That's what I was going through the other day that I mentioned. It's a good habit, a good practice to sit back and calm your mind, remove the distractions, and meditate on what you have. Take the time to do that. It's worth it to take the time to appreciate and lead yourself, guide yourself, ask yourself questions. What would life be like without this? That's a really good one. And imagine what it would be like. And then imagine, well, you don't have to imagine it now, but appreciate and recognize what you actually have now, okay? Another part of this is peace. It's really hard to have joy without peace. And part of bringing about joy in times of trouble and sorrow is learning how to have peace within. And there's three kinds of peace, actually. There's peace that we have inside, and there's peace that we have with other people, and there's peace that we have with God. Sometimes we don't have peace with people on the outside. It could be that they don't want peace. Sometimes people are just out to get us. It's not that often, but sometimes people refuse to get along. It could be that you're trying and just not getting anywhere. It may be that you don't have the people skills and you're causing problems and you don't even realize it. You're antagonistic, or maybe just the way you interact with people is not very conducive to having friendships. That could be part of the problem. Maybe we need to learn some skills. But peace comes through learning of these skills and putting them into practice, and we can get better and better at it. We also have peace with God, though, and that's the most important. If you are, you know, feeling bad, if you are down because of sin, or there's separation between you and God, or you haven't been open with God, you haven't been praying to God like you should, or spending time meditating and thinking about Him like you know you should, then you very well could lack peace because of that. And also, we have peace within. And if you're struggling with sin or temptation, it's very difficult to have peace. So what do we do? How do we get peace with that? It comes back to focus. It comes back to building skills. We're looking at life and trying to figure out, okay, what is it that I can do? And we have to build, we make peace. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. We don't snap our fingers. We don't ignore everything that doesn't bring us peace. We don't cut everyone out of our lives that cause disharmony somehow. We make peace. The peace that passes understanding comes from the God of peace. And so we start there. We start with God. We go to Him. We lay it all out for Him in prayer. We tell Him everything that we're feeling and thinking, and let him have it. In my notes, many times I'm writing ideas and I write. That's how I think the best, as I'm writing. Sometimes I think best by just walking and talking, but writing is better. And I'm writing it out, and there are many times where I've written the words, I'm going to let God worry about this. Not that God actually is a worrier. I don't mean that, but I'm intentionally deciding, you know, God can have that one, and I'll let Him have it, and I don't want to pick it up again. But what we do a lot of times, we go to God's feet and we lay all of our burdens down. And then we're very careful when we leave to make sure we pick them all up again so that we don't leave them there. No, you need to leave them there. God is the one who knows how to handle you. He knows how to handle the situation. I promise you, He knows how to handle the situation a lot better than we do. So we need that peace. And you can't have joy unless you have peace. So pursue that peace. And if you need to learn more, by the way, let's talk, because that's a different topic. Peace is a different topic, but it is related to this. You know, if you want to email me, I would love to hear from you. Jason@sparksmore.com. Share this with other people if you want to, if you get something out of it. And make sure that you're pursuing peace inside, outside, and with God. Another thing that relates to joy is having some order in your life. You know, it's not always a good thing to be chaotic. I used to think that I felt better when life was kind of chaotic, and it's because I could be spur of the moment, I could be spontaneous, and I could do whatever I wanted to on a whim, and it didn't matter. But I've learned over the years that while some things like that are good now and then, it's good to kind of break out of patterns now and then and do something fun, do something you haven't done, just for the adventure of it. That's good, but we really need structure. And if you don't have a lot of structure in your life, it's really difficult to have peace. And if you don't have peace in your life, you can't have joy. So put some structure in your life. You know, do your best to try to set some kind of a schedule. I would start with sleep. And that was the best thing for me. When I started actually realizing I needed 7 or 8 hours of sleep every night and that all humans need it, I started thinking, okay, well, I guess I'll stop sleeping for 3 hours a night and thinking that's enough. I would sleep for four or five hours a night, and then on Saturdays, I would just sleep all day. You know, that was terrible for me in many different ways. And I thought, you know, I'm catching up on the weekend. You don't catch up like that. In a sense, you do, but there's a deficit running all week. You're hurting yourself. Put some structure in your life. You'll be a whole lot happier after that, right? Another thing related to joy is the things that we say to ourselves. We have self-talk. The things that we say to ourselves, the stories that we tell ourselves, can really either bring joy or hinder joy. When you face a challenge, just for example, you face a challenge or a trial or a temptation, our response is usually, oh no, here we go again, or I don't know what we're going to do here. You know, we kind of get negative. And I don't want to endure this. I don't want to go through this. And, you know, hey, who does, right? None of us really enjoy problems, but we can find joy in the problems. And if our attitude, when we see it approaching us, or we're even just thrown into it, our response, we want to develop a habit of response that is, what am I getting from this? Here's an adventure. Okay, what's going to be at the end here? And you know, a lot of times it depends on what you're looking for as to what you find. If you're looking and you're looking at this problem that you're facing and you're thinking, well, I'll tell you what, I can give you a whole list of bad things that are about to happen here. You know, you very well could have those things happen. And it might simply be because you thought they were going to happen, and so they did. You know, the way that we tell stories to our minds, we tell ourselves how things are going to go. We say, this is going to happen, these things are going to happen. We kind of fulfill those, even subconsciously. We do things and act in certain ways so that we bring about those end results. Your brain is an amazing machine. And if you tell it that you want something, it will start working toward getting it, even if that means you're sabotaging yourself. Now, just because bad things happen doesn't mean that you've sabotaged yourself, but it could mean that. So we've got to look at the way we talk to ourselves, the stories that we tell ourselves. How do you interpret bad things that happen? Do you interpret them as potentially good? Interpret them as learning experiences? Do you interpret them as failures? And now because I failed so many times that I am now a failure, how do you interpret it? The way you speak to yourself is very important. You know, sometimes if you actually heard the words that you said to yourself, heard them said out loud, if you heard them, someone else saying it to another person, you would probably be upset and livid if they were the kind of self-talk that a lot of us do. I know from experience how that works. We can degrade ourselves, beat ourselves up. We can tear ourselves down so bad. You know, I'm never going to be able to do this. I can't. All kinds of reasons. I can give you 101 reasons why I can't. Someone asked me, one time they said, you got all the reasons why you can't. How about you tell me some reasons why you can? Just pretend to invent some ideas. You know, that kind of thinking has changed my life because I realize there are some things that I can do. And even more importantly, I realize there are a lot of things that God can do. One of the best lessons I learned from studying in the Old Testament, this is as far as lessons go for my personal growth, was the idea that was taught all throughout the Old Testament, and that is that God is not worried about our ability. He's concerned with our availability. He's going to do the work. He's going to do through us, but he needs us to work through. So we can be his hands and feet and his mouth, and our bodies can be used in his service. Now, I don't mean that he's going to come in and possess us. You know what I mean by that? He's going to help us, and he's going to be the one that he gets the credit because he's the one that sees us through. He's going to see us through to the end. That's an amazing idea. So we have this self-talk that is actually hurting us because we don't believe that we can do it, and we forget that it's God who's going to do it for us, or he's going to help us to do it. When, for example, the Israelites were told to destroy Jericho, there is no way that army was going to break through those walls. They were thick walls. They'd been there for a long time. And what they did was they marched around it for 7 days, once a day, 7 days. And the seventh day, they marched around it for seven times. And on the seventh time around, they all yelled. And when they yelled and blew the horns, the walls just fell down. And they just basically walked straight forward, walked into the place, and killed everyone in there. And God said, I've given this land to you. I've given this city to you. All you've got to do is go take it. And he even laid the walls down for them. But here's the thing. If they didn't walk around, when the walls fell down, if they didn't walk in and take the city, it still wouldn't have been theirs. So God will use us. He'll work through us. But we've got to be willing participants in that, or it's just not going to happen. So what is it that you're telling yourself? You're facing a challenge. You're facing temptation. You know, sometimes we face temptation and our first response is, well, it doesn't really matter because I'm going to lose in the end anyway. Have you ever thought that way? Man, if you're fighting addiction, I know a lot of people who have thought that kind of thinking. And they'll tell me, and we have discussions, and it's like, well, you know, I know it's easy. I might as well give in because eventually I'm going to anyway. We know how that works. And when we feel that way, what are we telling ourselves? We're telling ourselves that we don't have what it takes. We're telling ourselves that we really don't think that we want to change. We don't really want to have the differences in our lives. We kind of want to do the same thing over and over. And I know that sounds harsh, but people who are addicted eventually have to come to the conclusion that they're not going to do that anymore if they're going to stop. There has to be a conviction. And without that, there's really not much hope that they're going to change. And we've seen it time after time with people when they have to hit bottom first. Yeah, that's true. And they get to decide where the bottom is. And a lot of times they can go a whole lot deeper than you realize that they could go. I don't say that in a way of condemning. It's just reality. And so when we have that, the reason for that is probably because of self-talk, at least part of that. Another one is related to joy is the idea of consideration. Consideration is considering other people, considering their needs, considering their values, what is important to them. Because I've learned that getting outside of myself is a great way to bring joy. If I'm serving other people, if I'm serving God, I'm doing things that are useful for other people, it's really hard to be upset and angry or discontent or lacking joy when I'm helping other people and I see joy expressed in them. And to know that I had a part in that, that's a really good thing. Consideration. Related to that also, joy is vision. Vision is seeing the big picture. It's recognizing that this storm is only for a short time, even if it's the rest of my life. In comparison to eternity, it's short. So I have vision. I'm looking out for opportunities. And so I'm seeing a bigger picture. And when I'm opening up my mind, I realize I'm going to get through this. And then I might even start seeing pathways through this. And then when I start seeing paths, at least maybe pathways, I might even start seeing steps, things that I can do to improve the situation and get the most out of this situation. Because I tell you what, you can go through the pain and not learn anything, or you can go through the pain and learn something. Which one do you think is better? That's where we have to consider with vision, what we're seeing in life, what we're seeing, and that also relates to what we're telling ourselves, right? And then also, you know, dealing with stress, the emotional problems that come because we're having difficulties and now they have all this stress and we feel overwhelmed and it can even lead to panic attacks. There's so many things that can harm us related to this. So our mental condition, we've got to get that under control. And the best way to do that is all the things that I've mentioned before, awareness, appreciation, praise for the things that we have, taking deep breaths, meditation, prayer, all these relate to that. Now, that there are other things that relate to that, and sometimes we need some help getting through those things. And, you know, I'd love to help you. But if you start with the meditation, and start with the thinking, your thinking and changing the way you approach situations and how you view the situations that you're facing and the challenges, and you start appreciating what you have and praising God for that, finding that peace, making that peace within, it's going to help you a lot with those stresses. And so I want to leave you with that thought. If you need some help in talking about that, I'm here for you. I'd love to talk to you about it. Or really anything related to this. But joy is something that we all can have, that God has promised to all of his followers, that is something that we can develop and we should be developing it. And in fact, if we're not developing joy in our lives, that is actually a sign that we're not actually growing and developing the way we should. If we don't have joy, then we don't have the fruit of the Spirit. Because if you're developing the fruit of the Spirit, joy will be coming as a result of that. And so we may have parts of the fruit, we may be working on it, but our focus may just be off. It may be wrong. Maybe thinking about things in the wrong way, in the wrong perspectives. And there's so many things that are related to that. But I want to say again, if you need help with this, want to discuss this, I'm here. Let me know.